When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Patriot Nation Podcast.
All right, welcome back to another edition of the Patriot Nation Podcast. Of course, brought to you by Prize Picks, the official daily fantasy sports app of CLNS Media. Download the app today, put in the promo code CLNS, and they will match your first deposit up to $100. We also have a second sponsor, which is Game Time. If you download that app and put in the promo code CLNS, you'll get $20 off your first purchase. If you're thinking about going to Game 5 on Wednesday night, might not be a bad idea. Game Time, and the promo code is CLNS for $20 off your first purchase. Matt, here we are, sir. And we're ready for some draft rates. We did a billion shows over the week, over the weekend. I feel like we were just on here nonstop. It was great. We had a great time Thursday night. Ton of people came through Thursday night, which was a ton of fun. And I think overall, the Patriots kind of crushed it.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with it. I mean, I think there are some picks on, you know, day three or day two. You know, there's some that I'm a little uncertain about. But this class is going to be judged by the quarterback and the way that they support him. And I like the quarterback, and I liked a lot of the pieces they used to support him. So, you know, we can get into the details, but broad strokes, hard to be disappointed with this.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And ultimately, I think it comes down to the pick at three. So let's get into the draft grades. I did write a draft grade article on Pat's Pulpit, and it was funny. You were saying that, you know, you kind of did your own independent one, and they came up pretty similar. And so, you know, I think if we dive right into it, the first round is pick three at Drake May. And look, there were some reports, of course, that teams had tried to move up and, you know, things had tried to get done and so on and so forth. And I think that the Patriots made the correct decision, that they didn't move out of three, that they looked at it and said, you know, we're not going to have an opportunity to draft a guy like this again. And look, Drake May is a guy that I think you could make the argument that, you know, he has a long way to go and he is raw and he isn't. But at the same time, he makes the throws that NFL quarterbacks need to make. And not just – he plays the game in a way that the elite quarterbacks in the NFL play the game. And he has the arm strength to make every single throw and to make every single throw look easy. And the Patriots haven't had a guy like that in a long time. And honestly, a guy like Drake May, they've never had before, right? Maybe, you know, they originally drafted Jim Plunkett and Rich Gannon. But like – even Tom Brady didn't have the movement, the rushing ability that Drake May had. Now, he's the greatest quarterback of all time because he could do literally everything else on the football field, okay? Yeah. So Drake May isn't going to come.
He still had 1,000 yards rushing for his career.
See? So Drake May is not going to come, you know, he's going to be miles away from Tom Brady. But with the physical traits that he has, the Patriots haven't had a guy like that in a long time, and when you see how far along he is right now, I think it was a situation that you had to make that pick. I gave it an A+. I'm not sure what you gave it, but I gave it an A+ because you were confident in it. You took your swing and you said, this is the guy and let's go from here.
Yeah. Not hard to give this anything but an A+ to me. He was quarterback 2 in this class in the same tier as Caleb Williams, lower than him, but in the same tier. And they got him at QB3 with the number 3 pick in the draft. Exceptional. Right. I want to send a fruit basket to the Washington Commanders front office for doing this 2 years in a row. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you for that one. And yeah, you know, May can do a lot of stuff on the field and he seems like a great leader off of it. You know, you got the opening press conference, him bringing his brothers and his girlfriend he's been with since, what they say, seventh grade. So seems like a family man. And, you know, you look at the group he has around him and how close they are to him. I think that tells you a lot about what he is as a leader. And you need that from this position. You know, this is quarterback one of the New England Patriots. This isn't any other quarterback job in this league. It comes with a lot of expectations, comes with a lot of media scrutiny, comes with huge, huge shoes to fill. You know, until this franchise has any kind of semblance of a franchise quarterback, it's always going to be, you know, well, we're still waiting on the next Tom Brady. Like, that's going to be who you're compared to this whole time.
Right.
He seems like somebody who can handle that. And I obviously love all the stuff on the field. He has areas of his game where he needs to work, but he can do everything. Ben Solak in The Ringer, his article that he wrote after the draft, actually wrote a whole piece in there, too, about he thinks Drake May actually end up having the best season of any of the rookies this year. Mm. And you know, he did that because he sees the tools and he sees the way that, you know, there's been investment around him. And in some ways, what he likened it to was 2021 Trevor Lawrence, where you could tell that the situation around him needed a lot of work, but you could also tell that this guy had things that made him at least capable of being a special quarterback. And, you know, if that's the kind of season you get out of Drake May, I think you're going to be very, very happy. So, again, thank you to Washington for this. And we'll, I can't wait to see May actually get out there on the field. A++++.
Well, and that's the way I feel about it, right? And look, look, Brandon's out here, right? And says, you know, that after hearing from some of the reports, seems like May was third, if not, you know, QB4 for some other teams. Maybe that's true. Maybe that's true. I don't see it. I don't understand how any sane person could have J.J. McCarthy over Drake May. I just don't see it. I don't see how somebody could have Michael Penix over Drake May. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And even Jaden Daniels, I get the rushing ability.
Yeah.
Right? But it's not, you know, I'm sorry, but he's not better than Drake May. Sorry. Like, it's just not. And maybe we'll be proven wrong. And that's one of those things that, you know, I understand it's all, and we'll talk to Thor Nystrom. Coming back, I think for the fourth year in a row, this year is going to come and talk to us on Thursday. But you know, and Carlos is 100% right. He was the first or second pick before his final season at UNC going into this past year. And so, and again, you know, then the question becomes, who is he? Is he the guy we saw last year or is he the guy that we saw in 2022? And who is he closer to? And I think we saw enough good things last year that I feel okay about it. He's got some things to fix. He's got some things to work out. But I do think that, you know, we can harness some of that. Also, I got to give a shout out to Ramsey for the meme in the chat meme. This is fantastic. So well done. Well done, Ramsey. Appreciate you.
I love the fit in New England too for May with Alex Van Pelton, the quarterback guys they got here. His biggest issue is consistency with footwork. They got guys whose main thing is footwork. Is it going to fix it? No idea, but that's about as good a chance as I think you're going to have. And it sounds like, you know, nobody in the building is committing one way or the other on if he's going to start this year, which I think is fair. I think it was Gerard Mayo who said earlier that they're going to get him in the building and they're going to see how he learns and how he responds to stuff, which is what I was saying on draft night when they picked him. See what you got in May. Take it day by day. There's no reason to make decisions right now on, you know, exactly how many games he's going to play this year. You don't need to put a pitch count on him. This isn't like Major League Baseball where you got to worry about like service time and making sure he plays under a certain amount. No,
right.
He's on a 4-year contract, 1 year possibly added on to that. If if he's not ready, you need to sit him for a year. That's completely fine. If he's ready to go now, there's no reason not to play him as long as he's, you know, got enough of a good situation around him that he's not going to get killed when he goes out there.
Right. Right. True.
And I will also say, if the situation's that bad, Jacoby Brissett may get hurt and we may have to see Drake May out there regardless. You know, that's how Justin Herbert got out there, because a Chargers team doctor stabbed their quarterback by accident and 90 yeah. minutes before kickoff. It's, hey, Herbert, here's your first start. Have fun.
Right. Right.
And that well, was
and the other part of it for me is that, you know, I understand he was taken third overall. I do. I get that. I 100% understand. But again, for me, I'll just go back to the Chiefs. I'll just go back to the Chiefs. Let's just go back to the Chiefs. 2017, they trade a first-round pick. They move all the way up from 20-something to 10 to take Patrick Mahomes. And it sucks for Sean Payton, too, because he had the name written down. He had the Patrick Mahomes name written down. He was putting it in. And, you know, the Chiefs traded it in front of him. What are you going to do? But, you know, they trade up. They give a future first-round pick. They have a Pro Bowl quarterback on their roster. So Mahomes sits for the year. Wait a second. You just traded a future first-round pick and took a guy in the top 10 that you didn't plan on playing for a whole year? That guy must have sucked. He must have – oh, wait a minute. No, he didn't suck. Holy crap. No, he took them to the AFC Championship game the first year he started. And then – won MVP and then won the Super Bowl and so on and so on and so on, right? Like, so my point is this. Drake May doesn't suck if he doesn't play this year. It's because he needs some refinement before they can put him out there in a regular game, right? He needs to be able to see the field a little bit better. He needs to be able to not make some of the throws. Now, Patrick Mahomes still makes some of those ridiculously crazy throws, because he sees the field really well and he understands what's going on. I think they let Drake May do some of those crazy things, but you got to rein it in just a little bit. And that's what this year does. Number one, it allows the pieces around him to get better. And number two, it allows him to understand what's going on. And I think that there's nothing wrong with that, you know? And I think I get it. I understand that people want to see him on the field. He got drafted number three overall. I get that. But just allow him to have the year to grow. And look, if he's ready before that, then he's ready before that. But, you know, and it's not like – it's a different situation than the Chiefs were in, because the Chiefs, of course, were in a different situation because they were making the playoffs and they still had a good team and so on and so forth. It was a little bit different.
Good quarterback. Alex Smith was like a, you know, 14th, 12th best quarterback in the league when he was there. He did a good job. So, yeah, I think we should go in with a wide variety of expectations for the way this can go, or really go in with no expectations for what this is going to be year one. You know, it can be, there's really nothing off the table in terms of what May does or does not do in terms of being on the field and his actual abilities. And you're kind of drafting him with an eye on year two being when he puts it all together.
Exactly. And
especially year three. Year three is usually when these guys really start to figure it out. You know, year one is always going to be a learning year, whether that's on the field or in the practice room.
Right, right. Yeah. So, all right, so let's move on to the second round. Second round, the Patriots have picked 34. They move back three spots. And to do that, they move up 27 spots. Now, it's going to be important later, but they go from 137 in the fifth round to 110 in the fourth round with a trade with the Los Angeles Chargers. Chargers take Ladd McConkey, wide receiver out of Georgia. The Patriots at 37 take Jalen Polk, a wide receiver out of Washington. Now, I gave this an A. Probably should have given it a B. As a matter of fact, I had it as a B plus and I changed it to an A. I like it. I do. I like Jalen Polk. I like the idea of Jalen Polk. I feel like he's a very good route runner. He is one of my favorite lines, or I guess phrases, about him and the other guy they drafted in the fourth round, who we'll get to, is that they're accuracy erasers. Like, I love that line, because you're helping your young quarterback out. This is what you're doing. Your young quarterback, who has some issues with accuracy in the past, get him some guys that can help his accuracy, right? And Jalen Polk is that kind of guy. He doesn't have 4.3 speed, right? But he's still a vertical threat. He does really good work over the middle of the field, kind of that deep intermediate to deep middle. Phil Perry had a great article today on, you know, some of the statistics and how good Drake May is at throwing over that deep middle of the field and how Jalen Polk really thrives in that deep middle of the field. And so that's one of those things that I think you're looking at those things saying, okay, our quarterback's good at this. Let's get a wide receiver that's also good at this that can help him out with that. And so I think it was very intentional by them. And I do like the idea of doing it. Now, as Spectre Dez says, I don't know if he is the answer to their X problem. But I think he can do a bunch of different things. He may not stick at the X, but I think he can play the X at times, even if he doesn't play it every down.
Yeah, I love this pick. I am giving it a B+ just because I think it's a little bit, tiny bit of a reach, but it's one I'm okay with. I agree with everything you said about it being a perfect fit for what Drake May likes. I think he can be an X. He has to develop his route running more. He has to flesh out his game, but I think he can do that. I think he has the tools to do that. Polk has great hands. He can run a variety of routes. You can line him up at a bunch of spots. I like what Polk can bring to this offense more than I would have loved, you know, Calvin Ridley. Obviously, Ridley is the better player right now, and there's a ton of uncertainty because Polk has never played it down in the NFL. Ridley, I didn't really like outside the numbers. I didn't like him as an X. Polk can do that, even if he isn't your primary guy there. And I think he helps you out a ton. I was going back through some Browns tape to see how the Browns used Amari Cooper. And I think a ton of the stuff that they did with him, you can just copy and paste. Jalen Polk can run those same routes. I don't know if he's going to do it as well as, you know, Amari Cooper does at this point in his career, but that's the package you're going to start with. You know, they use him outside the numbers. They use him on speed outs. They use him on vertical routes. They use him in the slot. They use him on, you know, deep overs and things like that in a variety of different ways to get the ball to him in space. I think we'll see a lot of similar things for Jalen Polk as he gets on board here in New England.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that they 100% tried to trade up, were not able to. I think they wanted Xavier Leggett, didn't get him. I think that they released reports that they were interested in Keon Coleman so that the Bills would draft Keon Coleman at 33.
See, I think they liked him.
And they may have, but from the sound of it with, you know, what Elliot Wolf said afterwards was, you know, Polk was our guy. That's the guy that we wanted. You know, and again, he may be just blowing smoke. I don't know. But, you know, if that were the case, I think that's an interesting, you know, scenario for them. The Bills intentionally blocked the Patriots from moving up to pick 32 and instead traded back to 33 instead of 32. Instead of 34, I'm sorry, and blocked the Patriots from moving up to 32. So then if the Patriots kind of turned around and then made them take a guy that the Patriots really didn't want, that would have been great. I don't know, but that would have been great. Also, the numbers, just to kind of belabor this point a little bit, I mentioned the numbers that Phil Perry mentioned, and Drake May, over the last 2 years, since 2022, has 66 big-time throws. Okay? So big-time throws, I believe, are, you know, 20 yards downfield. I believe it's 20 or more yards downfield. 66 big-time throws. Caleb Williams had 44. Jaden Daniels had 38. Out of those 66 big-time throws, only 6 of them were turnover-worthy plays. So I think that's pretty solid. So anyways, yeah. All right, let's move on. We can move on here. I like the Jalen Polk thing. Again, A, B+, somewhere around there. I like that. But, you know, we'll see. Now the not so good. The third round, the Caden Wallace pick, I didn't get. I gave it a C-. I can see people giving it less than that. I think they believe he can play left tackle. If he actually can play left tackle, then this grade goes higher, right? I still think it was a bit of a reach. It maybe wasn't as big of a reach as we may have first thought, because I'm looking at it saying, Caden Wallace, are you serious? But even still, it's not really ideally the guy you wanted in that spot.
Yeah, I'm with you. I had a C-minus here for Caden Wallace. I think he'll be a useful player. I think there's a lot to like about him. I remain skeptical that he's going to actually be a good left tackle in the NFL. He might be serviceable. He might be a spot starter there. I don't know if he's a guy you want starting there as a franchise left tackle. I think we're probably going to see him in at guard. And I look at, you know, this guy, Laden Robinson, who they took later, and Nick Leverett, who they signed from Tampa. The three of them may be competing. Maybe Jake Andrews is in this mix, too, for those backup guard spots, or with, you know, Cidiso and Cole Strange for the starting guard spots. And they may throw them all out there and say, we're going to see what you all can do. And I wouldn't be surprised if Caden Wallace ends up being a super sub, a backup at four spots on the offensive line this year. So, like I said, I think he's useful. I think this is earlier than I would have liked, although I understand why they did it. And I, again, I'm going to remain skeptical of his ability to play left tackle until we see it. That's right. Great. Like, it'll go higher. If he ends up being a good left tackle, this goes way higher. And I'm going to give them a ton of credit for spotting something that other teams didn't see with him. But until we actually see that play out, this is going to be a C minus for me.
And that's really the big thing. Now, I think he took a big step forward last year. So they thought, okay, there's a little bit of, there's a chance that he can, he's still growing and still learning. But again, I just, you know, and TD even said it in the chat, like he played 4 years at right tackle. And now all of a sudden he's going to play left tackle. Like I just didn't love that. So,
and reportedly he worked out for them at left tackle. He did work at the Shrine Bowl at left tackle. It sounds like the only reason he didn't at Penn State is because they just had other guys over there, like Obi Fashanu. Like that's a pretty good reason. It's kind of similar to the Blake Fisher thing. This guy's just not as young. So I think there's less runway for growth. And at the same time, I think there's some questions with his agility that make you question how he can do against speed rushers on an island.
Yeah, exactly. All right, that's the first 2 days. We're going to take a quick ad break, and then we'll come back with day three, and then continue with some breaking Patriots news that came out today, which we'll talk about, and then we'll also kind of go around the league just quickly and talk about some of the fits we liked and didn't like. We'll be right back. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball, baseball, and hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. You can pick LeBron, Aaron Judge, Connor McDavid, and Jude Bellingham all in the same entry. Prize Picks even offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, Prize Picks will have your back and not count that as a loss. Now this week, I'm actually going with Aaron Judge, Rafael Devers, and Bobby Witt Jr. to have over 1.5 total bases, and I'm going with Kevin Durant for more than 28 points and Nikola Jokic with more than 10 rebounds. Download the app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, if you download the app today and put in the code CLNS, they will match your first deposit up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Record a new ad read there. Flipping Kevin Durant, man. Swept. Anyways. All right. So day three. Let's get into day three. We'll go through. Laden Robinson is the first one to pick 103. We already talked about this a little bit. I didn't hate it. I liked other guards. Everyone knows I'm in love with Tanner Bordellini. He's the guy I really wanted if you were drafting a guard. He goes to Indy later on. Mason McCormick was the second guy I fell in love with from South Dakota State. He goes later as well. So, you know, I'm upset that they didn't take either of those guys, but he's got long arms. He's got like 35-inch arms. He's a big dude. He has a ton of experience playing at Texas A&M. And so I think he can come in if they're not 100% sure about their guard spots. He can come in and compete at that guard, at that guard position. And so I gave it a C+. I don't love it, but I also get it.
Yeah, I give this a C+ as well. I think this is your Antonio Maffi replacement. Very similar stylistically. I this is one area where I'm curious, because Caden Wallace is a guy who I think is a really good zone fit, zone running fit. That's what they did a lot of at Penn State. I think he can do zone or gap power. But Laden Robinson is a guy who might be less of a zone guy and more just, I'm going to move you out of the way type of dude. He's built. He's a big dude. Very powerful. So I'm curious where he fits in this offensive line. And I think he's a right guard only. I don't know if he has left guard versatility. You know, I was looking at some of the players and where they fit on the depth chart. And yeah, this guy's mostly a right guard. Nick Levert, who they signed, is mostly a left guard. Jake Andrews is mostly a center. So it seems like they almost have a one-for-one backup at each one of those spots. I wouldn't be surprised to see Layden Robinson take City So's job. I also wouldn't be shocked if we see City So and Layden Robinson both get reps at right guard this year. And after the year, we're saying, hey, I think we need to use another pick there because we don't love either of these guys. I don't think they're bad players. I think they're useful players. I think they can be part of a good offensive line. They also might be players you still want to upgrade later on. But I don't think this is a bad pick. A little bit of a reach. So C-plus here is, you know, slightly above average. Not in love with it, but not upset with it by any means. Just curious.
Right. And that's, you know, that's kind of where I'm at. And look, I just think it'll be fine. And again, if they're not happy with their, if this kid winds up starting a few games at guard, or, you know, Carlos mentioned that he thinks Cole Strange might be on the way out. You know, if something like that happens and this guy ends up sliding in and playing, well, now, of course, again, the grade, obviously, depending on how well he plays, the grade can go up based on that. So we'll see. All right. Steal the draft right here. Pick 110. This is the trade the Patriots got for moving back. Of course, they moved up. It's not like they got it for free, but they moved up and got pick 110 for moving back to pick 37. And they draft Javon Baker from UCF. This kid is an electric factory. Just the absolute best. I love this guy. I love him already. And he hasn't even played a snap for the Patriots. But just his swagger and his bravado, the way he comes in, the way he approaches things. He's a professional on the field too. Like, he works his ass off and he really loves what he does. He loves like the craft behind it too, which I think is really great. And, you know, and old man mom says he reminds him of OBJ and look, I mean, maybe that's a little generous, but maybe, I mean, again, he is explosive. You're talking about a guy that averaged 22 yards a catch last year, had five receptions of over 50 yards, which is insane. Insane. And so you get a guy like that at pick 110 because why? You ran a 4.54? Like, what are we talking about? You know? And so the speed at which he plays on the field is more important. He's an accomplished route runner, a really good route runner who sets defenders up. I absolutely love this pick. And, you know, I think he, again, the same thing with Jalen Polk, he complements what Drake May does really well because he's another accuracy eraser. He's another guy that will go up and get passes if they're not perfect. And so I love the pick. I think it's a great pick. And again, it's at 110. Like, this kid, we could have justified at 68, and he's going at 110 instead. Matter of fact, I had him 68 in one of my mock drafts. And so he goes 110, and I love it.
Yeah, I like this. It gets an A from me. It's, you know, good value where it is. Scheme fit with what Drake May likes to do. You get another guy who can play X. I think you came away from this draft with two players who can play X, which means if one of them works out, you're in really good shape, and I think I like that. Javon Baker reminds me of, I think I said this in the live show or in our instant reaction, that he reminds me of Kendrick Bourne in some ways, and that he's a playmaker. Flashy personality, can be a little bit inconsistent, you know, makes highlight reel grabs, but will also have some drops in there. Can be a little bit sloppy at points, but the highlights are just worth investing in because, you know, if this guy, if he develops all the way and becomes an elite level route runner, which I think he has the capability of doing, you know who his game reminds me of a little bit? It's a little Stephon Diggs in there.
And
especially with the attitude and the playmaking and all that. And we saw how that worked out for Josh Allen, and Stephon Diggs was a fifth round pick. So Saying that at this point in the draft is not crazy at all. I mean, Puka Nacua was a later pick. Like, you get guys like that in this round. And, you know, I wrote an article that went up in Pat's Pulpit today talking about, you know, inside the numbers of this draft. This is the first time the Patriots have taken two receivers in the top 110 picks since 2013, which was the Aaron Dobson and Josh Boyce class.
Oh,
and I think, you know, Aaron Dobson, I think, is a very defensible pick. He just didn't work out. Josh Boyce, though, I think, in hindsight, you know, that really didn't work. and I like Javon around the same spot in the draft. I like Javon Baker's odds of becoming even, you know, wide receiver three better than I like what Josh Boyce was able to do. I don't really see, like, he's got the attitude, he's got the playmaking. I think in some ways the worst case for him is a wide receiver three or four who floats around that part of your roster and can make impact plays but will disappear at points. And yeah, if you're getting a guy like that in that pick 110, you have to be excited about that because this guy will make a couple of highlight reel plays for you that can win games.
100%. And I think the big thing for me is that, you know, what's funny about the Josh Boyce example is that he's a perfect example of a guy who is, you know, he was like jacked up, super strong, really fast, elusive with the ball in his hands, didn't understand how to play receiver and could never figure it out. And Polk and Baker are the opposite of that, right? They may not be these super athlete guys. They don't, you know, run 4.3. They're not what, but they understand how to play the position. They know what they're doing when they get out there. They're smooth. They're slick route runners. They fight for the ball. They kind of do all those things that good receivers do, even if they're not super explosive. And again, time and again, it's been proven that guys like that are just simply more effective than guys like Josh Boyce. It's been proven over and over and over and over again. And so I'll take my shot with two guys like that. And again, even if only one of them hits, like, you got one, and that's what matters. And so, so we'll see.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yep.
You know who else he reminds me of? And this is going to be without the off-field issues to make that crystal clear. Jack Jones. Seems like the offensive equivalent to Jack Jones.
Yep.
Playmaker. That's,
what does he say?
Rash, likes to talk.
Right. Disrespectful to throw an out route on me, like things like that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
A guy who has that kind of attitude. Let me tell you, you know, you didn't have issues with Jack Jones, the player in New England. He's a guy who made an impact from day one. So, you know, if Javon Baker can give you that kind of thing, the only reason he's available here is because he played at UCF and it was at Bama and couldn't crack their rotation with the ridiculous amounts of talent they had there, then transferred, had to play at UCF to get, you know, the playing time and, you know, was a little bit older, plays at a lower level, but he's
right.
Yeah.
Yep. So, all right, on to the sixth round at pick 180. They take Marcellus Dial, a D-back from South Carolina. And again, I like it. I don't love it, but I like it. He's a kind of a toolsy guy. He's not, you know, he's not the best, but you know, he's one of those guys for me that he's going to end up playing corner for them. I think probably they're going to try to work him out at safety and see if he can play that deep safety role. He's got pretty good speed. He has decent closing speed as well and good instincts. A little stiff-hipped is what I've heard. And that's what it sounded like. And so our guy, Coach Williams, put up, you know, some film on him. So I'm curious to see what that looks like. But, you know, look, it's a shot in the dark. It's in the sixth round. I gave it a C+. I didn't hate it. But, like, you know, it's like I have no idea what to expect. And, you know, yeah, if the kid ends up playing safety and gets in that safety rotation, even if he's not, you know, he only plays a few snaps a game or whatever the case may be, it's worth it.
Yeah, I'm giving this a C just because I think it's a reach. I think they probably could have gotten him or someone of similar quality either later in the draft or as an undrafted free agent. But I don't hate it. You know, I'm curious why him. Because there are other players who have different traits available, and I think, you know, corner is in a position where, by and large, you knew what Bill Belichick liked. You know, it's going to be one of two things. It's going to be your big, long-armed, downside corner, or it's going to be guys who have amazing three cones, and he's going to draft like three of them in the same draft, and one of them is going to be good. Like, that's the approach for it. And this is not – he ran the three cone, but if he did, it wouldn't be very good.
He did, stiff. And it wasn't good.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So he's just – this is a different breed of guy, and it is late day three, so that's fine. But – you know, I'm not convinced he's better than like Isaiah Bolden as a prospect who they took last year. I think he's going to come in and fight for a job. I think this is the point in the draft where you start to say, all right, these guys are not guaranteed roster spots and they might get beat out by an undrafted free agent or a veteran or whatever.
Hey, and let's just see a guy that we like the traits and go from there. So, all right, on to pick 193. Oh, baby. Joe Milton. It was so much. I mean, it's so much fun. It's such a fun draft pick. It makes absolutely no sense why you would take Joe Milton. It's just like, I gave it a C minus. I just was like, what are we doing? But I mean, let's have some fun. Let's have some damn fun and draft a guy that can throw an orange 100 yards after practice, that can just throws it. I mean, throws it a mile, and I love it, you know? And so again, it's the C minus because he's not a real football player. Like, he's not a quarterback. Like, let's be honest. He's not a quarterback, right? Like, but he's going to be fun at training camp. He has a good personality. From everything I've heard, he's a leader in the locker room. Like, he's a guy that people like a lot. And so I like that. Like, he can be your second string quarterback eventually, right? He's not going to play. You don't want him to play. But he's a guy that, you know, has some fun, does a whole lot of different things. And, you know, so I like that a lot. Again, do you need him? No, it was a luxury pick. And I think they had some holes to fill. And so, you know, to me, that's not what I'm looking for. But at the end of the day, you know, I didn't hate it. I thought you could have drafted a few of the guys in that spot that they didn't go after. But again, it's just so much fun. And I love the fact that Joe Milton's on the team.
Yeah, he's a fun guy. We're gonna going to get some great social clips, you know, in July and August. Oh, yeah. If I'm honest, I'm not entirely convinced he's, you know, better than Bailey Zappi. Just, you know, he was at his career high, something like 2,500 passing yards or something like that in 6 years in college. He's got all the physical traits. But that's also fine. Like, Bailey Zappi's probably not going to be on this team. It's going to be May and Brissett and that Milton fighting for that last roster spot if they want to keep three quarterbacks and maybe, you know, Rourke. Or one of Rourke or Zappi is going to be gone before training camp if I had to
guess.
Yes, it's probably Zappi just to clear out the locker room.
It's just not enough. Right. There's just not enough snaps to go around. There's not enough snaps to go around, you know?
No. And it's, you know, Milton is interesting. He has traits. He's the, I think I said in my reaction, he's the broken but could be fun to fix of this quarterback class because, you know, you pick up the toy and you see what it could be. But will they fix him? You know, I have no idea. He's an athlete, and I think you could possibly use him in packages. I don't know why. I mean, Drake May has a great arms. I'm not sure. It'd be really far away if we're talking about putting in Milton for May for a Hail Mary. Right. I think in theory he could be like your QB sneak quarterback with his size as well. He could call some of the Cam Newton package stuff with him at the goal line. But I think honestly, year one, I doubt he cracks the game day roster if he ends up making the 53-man roster.
The hard thing for me, I mean, you know, and people are talking, oh, he's this and he's that and he's so on and so forth. He's better than Zappi and he's great and he's going to – So, look, I'm not the big – but, like, my buddy – is a Tennessee Volunteers fan. And I was like, oh, I'm thinking about, you know, when I was writing one of my marks, so I'm thinking about putting Joe Milton in there. And he's like, don't do it. Don't do it. He's flipping terrible. He's like, he's one of the worst quarterbacks you'll ever see in your entire life. Like, he's so bad. And like, this is a guy that played for a long time in college. Like, he's had time to figure it out. And, you know, he's wildly inaccurate. And that's just who he is. I don't know if you can coach that out of him, you know? And so, and again, I'm not trying to make this, you know, Bailey Zappi is, you know, to me, he's out, right? I would rather have Joe Milton on my team than Bailey Zappi. I'll just put
I said, I think that Zappi's probably better. That doesn't mean that I want to keep Zappi.
No.
The difference is tiny and also not significant.
Like, correct. Yeah. And so, but just so people in the chat understand, like, I get the tools and you see the tools and you see the throws and you see the highlights and you're like, oh boy, okay, the highlights are there. We can build this guy. I'm just saying, when you're there every day, you listen to the fans of those teams that he played for when he was at Alabama, when he was at Tennessee, And he's just like, those guys, like, don't, just for the love of God. He's just not good. And so those are the people that I listen to. They might be wrong, but those are the people that I listen to when they're talking about that. And so that's all. And again, it doesn't mean that, that he won't prove people wrong. It doesn't mean he won't, it's worth a shot, because if he somehow develops, if he somehow figures it out, he's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, because he has some of the mobility. He's huge and he's got a hell of an arm. So if he can figure that out, that would be incredible. I don't think that's going to happen, but if he could, then what that, and at 193, it's worth a shot. And so, especially when you need a backup quarterback, it's worth a shot, in my opinion. So, yeah. All right, last pick. Pick 231, Jaheim Bell from Florida State. I am 100% convinced that Jaheim Bell was around at 231 because no one in the NFL had any idea what to do with him. The seventh round was filled with guys that, in my opinion, the NFL just didn't know what they were doing. Like Johnny Wilson, interestingly enough, his Florida State teammate, dropped all the way to the seventh round, not because he wasn't good, but because no one knew whether he was a tight end or a wide receiver. They were like, I don't know what to do with this guy. And so could he work out? Yeah, maybe. But there's also, it's like, I'm also not sure what position he's going to play. And Bell's kind of that same way, where he's not a super explosive athlete. He's pretty elusive, but not incredibly elusive. And you're like, okay, I just don't know what he does. Is he a fullback? Is he a tight end? Is he a H-back? Is he like, what does he do? Right. And I think that that's why he drops this far. And if the Patriots can figure out a role for him, not do what they did with John Smith when John Smith was here, but actually figure out a role for him, I think that he could be a guy that gives them something on offense they don't have. Whether they will or not, I don't know, but I like the idea of him.
Yeah, and Bell is interesting because he's a good athlete. RAS score, I think, like 8.6, something in that range off the top of my head. He's never been more than like the number four option on any of the teams he's been on in college. He's been productive. You know, you can pretty much count on him for 500 yards from scrimmage every year he was actually involved in whatever he was doing. But he's never really been a top option. He's played on some good teams in there. So yeah, it's how do you use him? Do you have a plan for him? I like him a lot. I like the traits. This is going to get a really good grade from me. I gave this one a B+, because I think it's a steal to get an athlete like this at tight end at the end of the seventh round. And I think he's a fit with what Alex Van Pelt likes. Again, I was going through this Browns offense recently, looking at the way they do things. And, you know, there's a lot of reps where they'll go out there with three tight ends on the field, motion one of the tight ends into the backfield, use him as a fullback. And what that does is it means you can get more, you can use that tight end to get some advantageous blocking angles at the second level to put them in easier positions. And they also do a lot of that stuff to get the tight end in motion. You know, you do your play action bootleg, the tight end who's lined up at fullback goes across the formation, and you can, you know, get something going, stretching the defense. And Jaheim Bell is that kind of guy. He's a wing tight end. He's an H-back. He's never going to be a top number one tight end. He doesn't have the athletic traits for it, but he's a guy who, if the rest of your offense is good, you can then just get him the ball in space four or five times a game, and he'll pick up chunks if the defense gives you the space.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, by the way, TJ says that Elliot Wolf must have been watching us. Hey, man.
I hope so.
You know, makes sense. Makes sense. I wonder why he did so well. but Biz C says that he could be a use check type of role, which I think that kind of makes sense. I like that.
I made that comparison when they picked him.
Yeah. And so we'll see. So overall, I gave it a B+. You know, I teetered between a B and a B+. I decided on a B+. I could be convinced it was a B and not a B+, but that's where I went. Also, if we could just run through really quick, just run through. By the way, what did you give it overall? A B+ as well?
I didn't grade it overall, but I'd give it a B+. The grade of this draft is entirely determined by the success of Drake May. If Drake May is good, none of the other players are. Nobody is going to.
Doesn't matter. Right.
Yeah.
Yep. That's 100% what the case is. I agree. So, all right, just I'm going to just run through the names of the UDFAs. We're not going to break them all down. I haven't really dove into any of these guys, I'm not even going to pretend to know, but I will just give you them, okay? So Del Pettis, who's a safety from Troy, led the Trojans with 74 tackles last season, which is interesting. Charles Turner, who is a center from LSU. So Jaden Daniels is center. Allowed one sack last year and 763 snaps. Mikey Victor, who's a corner from Alabama State. Alabama State, come on now. John Morgan, an edge from Arkansas, a.k.a. Arkansas. Caleb Ford Demet, who's a corner from Texas State. Jacob Warren, who's a tight end from Tennessee. Jet Bush, who's a linebacker from Texas. John Trey Hunter, who's a linebacker from Georgia State. John Trey Hunter has one of like the worst RAS scores you'll ever see in your entire life. Like one of the slowest people of all time.
Bad.
But it's funny because sometimes you see some of those things and like Jarvis Landry has like a 0.2 RAS score. And you're like, wait, what? How is that even possible? So sometimes they just it just works. I think that the best of the bunch here is going to be Deshaun Fenwick, who's a running back from Oregon State. He shows a little bit of explosion. And again, he may turn to nothing, but he's one of those guys. He looks like fun. And the last guy is Zuri Henry, who's a tackle from UTEP. This guy has been playing football for 6 years in college. 6 years. Okay. This is my favorite. He has 1,600 snaps at left tackle and 900 snaps at right tackle. The guy's played 2,500 snaps of college football.
He's a veteran.
So he's got a lot of experience at both tackle positions. I mean, come on. Like, you know, I would say it's a long shot for him to make the team, but this is pretty cool. 6'6", 310, like what the heck? You know what I mean? So, yeah.
I'd also not on that list, but they have some tryout invites for rookie minicamp in early May. Some
kickers, right? Yeah.
Yeah. There's, I believe, two kickers who were invited to it. One of them just got invited. I don't know anything about him. The other dude is Canadian. That's all and the Canadian guy was good. There was an article on Pat's Pulpit about it if you want to go read that.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, I don't have any details on that off the top of my head, but if they do well, possibly some Chad Ryland competition there.
I like it. So, Burley, I can confirm he's not older than me, but he's getting there. He's getting there.
It's got to be around my age there.
Yeah, right? See, he actually might be your age. So there's that. So let's take another break, and then we're going to talk about the Patriots news that happened today, and then we'll get into the drafts that we liked and didn't like as well. So this will be our last break, and then we'll get through those, and we'll be back. The Celtics are in the playoffs, and there's nothing like the atmosphere of the Garden during a Celtics game. And the easiest way to get in the building is by using the Game Time app. The prices on Game Time actually go down the closer it gets to tip off. Now, one of the nice things about Game Time is that they have all-in pricing, which means you see the fees up front. They're not hitting you with fees after you've already paid or as you get to the payout screen. They're giving them to you up front so you know exactly what you're paying. They also have the lowest price guarantee. If you find a price lower, they will credit you 110% of the difference. And they give you a seat view before you purchase anything. You can even move your phone around and see how it looks. So take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code CLNS for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code CLNS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. All right, nice. Okay, so let's dive into this Patriots news from today. The first one is that Connor McDermott was let go. A guy that I just think we should touch on it only because he's a guy that played swing tackle for the Patriots and performed admirably over the last 2 years. I think you have a lot more problems on the offensive line if you don't have Connor McDermott. And the offensive line wasn't very good. But I think Connor McDermott really helped out a lot. Certainly in 2022, he was hurt a little for a lot of the season last year. But certainly in 2022, and was a guy that, you know, was a little bit of a dependable veteran, I thought.
Yeah, he started, what, 5 games last year, I think at 228 snaps. He got injured during camp, so then he had to be waived. They waited for him to get healthy and brought him back. He's been, yeah, you know, all over the place the last couple of years, but he was good. He was serviceable. And I think my takeaway from this is that, you know, you don't cut him unless you feel good about your other veteran options at tackle.
Mm-hmm.
I think number one, this tells me that they think Calvin Anderson is probably good to go. He's had health issues, but when he was in Denver, he was the swing tackle, backup tackle there, and he did very well at left tackle. Now he's removed from whatever illness set him back last offseason, and hopefully 2023 is a wash. We could throw that out the window, and Calvin Anderson gets back to his 2022 self, because if you get back to that 2022 version of Calvin Anderson, he might be the best pass blocker at left tackle on this roster as it's currently constructed. He got really good PFF grades there. Yeah, hopefully that's what this means, is that they think he's back, because that could have been a very good signing if it worked out last year.
Well, and that's the thing, right? We just don't know, right? We don't know what the situation is going to be. And I think that that's one of those interesting things that, like, I was excited about Calvin Anderson before last year. And of course, then he gets sick, and whatever the sickness was, he was out for the majority of the year. And so hopefully if he's healthy now, you never know. And I think that I like that quite a bit. And then of course, Christian Barmore, a 4-year up to $92 million contract, the largest non-Tom Brady deal the Patriots have ever signed, which I think is fantastic. I absolutely love it. And obviously, the new salary cap is a huge reason for that, right? But the fact that they went out, they made him one of the highest paid defense tackles, although I saw that by average annual value, he's still outside the top 10, which is wild. But those guys get paid a ton of money. And he was dominant last year. He was dominant last year. And so I like him a lot. I love him. I mean, I have his jersey. I mean, I love the guy. He might be my favorite player on the team right now. And so I am over the moon that they, you know, took care of this before he became a free agent. There was no need to wait until next year. Do it now. They did it now, and I could not love it more.
Yeah. It's, from what I saw, this is the 8th biggest contract at the position, just based on the full contract value. I also saw that it's the 8th biggest at the position in terms of average value. That's SpotTrack today. Is it SpotTrack or SpotTrack? I've never...
I don't even know. I think it's SpotTrack, but I don't know how they pronounce it, to be honest with you.
Whatever it is, yeah.
And I think you can't be wrong no matter what you say. It is SpotTrack, but they might pronounce it SpotTrack. I don't know.
Okay. And then it's $41.8 million guaranteed. That is 12th highest at the position. So, yeah, I mean, I think he plays like that. So I think he's going to be worth that. And the other thing is... those numbers will go down as new players sign contracts. I think the fact that this stayed away from Christian Wilkins money is great value for them.
Yeah.
This contract could have been larger. So the fact that he's willing to sign at this number, very, very happy about it. And as they come through his age 29 season in New England, he's going to spend the first 8 years of his career here.
Love it.
And he's the core of your new defensive identity. And, you know, that's the length of Drake May's rookie contract, so that means in theory you should be getting an anchor of your defense for the entirety of the rookie contract of, you know, the new quarterback that you have, your quarterback one, hopefully the future of your franchise, which that helps with the development.
it sure does. Yeah. By the way, I just pulled up SpotTrack, and the top update is hashtag Patriots legend Justin Herron just signed a deal with the New Orleans Saints. So there you go. Nice
good
work
for
Justin.
Him. That's a good signing for that New Orleans.
Yeah, it is. I like Herron. And TD, I just want to point this out. TD says, you know, for all the people that complain about Belichick's draftees, and I tweeted this out earlier today, but as terrible of a situation as the offense is in, there's a ton of young talent on defense, right? You look at the guys that they re-signed, and of course you have Mike Onwenu, who was a sixth-round pick, but like you have guys that, you know, have that thing, Duggar, Barmore, right?
Peppers. Like Peppers to Vi is the guys off the scrap heap that you're able to get. Vi,
Bentley, who they drafted, who I love. You know, Dietrich Wise, Anthony Jennings, right? Like now Keon White. So I just think there's
Joshua. Uche staying.
Yeah, okay.
Wants to go by Joshua now. So
there you go, right? Joshua, yeah. Uche. I like that. And so, look, I think that, you know, and Mapu, we'll see what Mapu ends up being. But I just think, and of course, Christian Gonzalez, right? And Jonathan Jones. Yeah. And so there's a ton of young talent on this defense, which is great. The problem is their offense sucks, right? And so, and I you know, whatever. I'm not getting into the Belichick thing. But regardless, I just think that you look at the state that the defense is in, and that I think more than anything propels the Patriots to do what they did, right? Because to me, at least, they knew they needed to improve their offense, and so they got their offense, and they drafted one guy on defense. But they were like, all right, we got guys on defense. We need studs on offense. And so they went out and tried to get some guys. So we'll see how it goes, but that's the idea.
Yeah. All right. Do we want to get into our draft picks we liked, draft picks we didn't around the league?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
You want to start us off?
I will start us off. And you know what? I'm going to start with a like. We'll start on the positive side, so the negative side. We'll start on the positive side. And there's a bunch of them. I think for me, though, it's the Lions. In the first two rounds, they trade up in my opinion, at least, the number one corner on the board, Terry Arnold at 24, which is like wild that they get Terry Arnold at 24. And then they get Ennis Rakeshaw at the end of the second round. This is a defense that blows. I mean, they are terrible. And for them to go out in the first two rounds and get two guys that I think, Terry Arnold, I think you could make an argument was a top, you know, 15 pick. And, you know, in a year that there wasn't so much ridiculous offense, would have been a top 10 pick. For me, I look at it and say, that's an incredible pick. And then Rakestraw is a guy that I thought could have snuck into the end of the first round, maybe early second round. They get him all the way at pick 61. For a team that really, really needed help in the defensive backfield, I think that it was a really, really nice job by them.
I like that one. That's a good one. My first one that I liked, I'm going to go with Troy Franklin to Denver. They drafted Bo Nix, which I have mixed feelings on, I'll put it that way. The fact that you can get his number one receiver to pair with him as late as they got him. I have some questions about Troy Franklin too as a prospect, but I think that's fantastic value and a great job of picking a wide receiver with your quarterback in mind. So shout out Denver.
I like it. Well, let's go to one we didn't like. And Murph, I'm calling for earmuffs, Murph. Earmuffs. Joe Walt, man, at 5. I didn't get it. I love Joe Walt. I think he's awesome. They have a left tackle. They have Rashawn Slater at left tackle. They're not moving Rashawn Slater from left tackle. In my opinion, you trade number 5 to Minnesota. They move up to 5. They give you 11. They give you 23. Maybe they even give you their first-round pick next year. Maybe they don't, but even 11 and 23. And at 11, you draft Talifuaga. And to me, you're getting a legitimately really good right tackle. Now, I'm not saying Joe Walt won't be a really good right tackle. What I am saying is that he's going to have to play right tackle for you. You drafted him number 5 overall to play right tackle. That doesn't make any sense to me. And so, you know, yes, he's the best offensive lineman in the draft. Yes, he's an incredible player, in my opinion. He has the opportunity. And we talked about on the show that I think if I had to put my life on one guy being a Hall of Famer, it would have been him. But to play right tackle, I don't know. It just seemed bizarre to me. I would have traded back, taken the extra draft capital, and again, drafted, you know, the best right tackle in the draft, which is Talifuaga, in my opinion. And so I was perplexed by that pick.
I feel like I felt a lot better if they took Ladd McConkey later on.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, but I definitely hear what you're saying there. One I didn't like, I'm going with the Cincinnati Bengals high-risk strategy. Three of their top five picks. Marius Mims, guy who didn't play that much football. Mm-hmm. Jermaine Burton, a guy noted to have issues in multiple locker rooms. Mm-hmm. Eric All, a tight end who has been chronically injured lately. You're swinging for the fences on all three of these. I think having that much risk, three of your top five picks, that scares me a little bit. That is a little bit too much to me. I get it. I understand the rationale. That's a bit much for me.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And Nagan says that the Penny Sewell was drafted to be a right tackle, which you're 100% correct. You are 100% correct about that. It is true. He did go 7th overall. So it's a little bit different than 5. It's not much different than 5, but it is a little bit different than 5, in my opinion. But again, I just think the difference is, and I'm not saying just to kind of go back to the Joel thing, the difference for me is that it's the value you could have gotten. That's in my opinion, that's why. So again, I love Joel. I just feel like that you could have gotten a ton of value. Nevertheless. Okay, let's go back to the Vikings. You know what's just a brief aside, Jermaine Burton was one of my likes. And the reason why he was one of my likes is because you're not putting him in a ton of pressure right away. You're putting him into a wide receiver room that's really, really good, right? And so, yes, he's been a huge issue and he's been a huge problem, but you're also not having him step in. Like, if he comes into New England, if he was the first receiver that New England took, there's a ton of pressure on him right away. And if he doesn't succeed, all eyes are going to be on him, right? Whereas, yeah, okay, there's going to be eyes on Jermaine Burton for sure, but not as much because he has two guys that are really good, assuming they don't trade T. Higgins. He has two guys in front of him that are both really good, right? And so he's stepping in as the wide receiver 3 instead of the wide receiver 1 or 2, right? And I think that makes a big difference. So I like the idea they did that. But anyways, another like for me was Adonai Mitchell. I like the idea that Indianapolis is continuing to build guys. I think Alec Pierce, he's going to kind of take that role from Alec Pierce. Alec Pierce was kind of that deep ball, jump ball threat. I just don't think he was very good at it. A.D. Mitchell is. And so kind of looking at it and saying, okay, we have Michael Pittman. We have Josh Downs. We have some guys that we like, right? Now we're going to go out and get this guy that we think can improve this position, and kind of take that role away from Alec Pierce. And maybe Pierce still has a role, but I just think that he does it better than Pierce does.
That's really interesting. I didn't. Yeah. Okay. All right. yeah. I didn't think about it like that. My like, this is a double. Brock Bowers and Jackson Powers Johnson falling to the Raiders. I like that the Raiders didn't overcomplicate this. Two guys a lot of people liked. Two guys who should be good players. Don't look now, but the Vegas offense looks kind of all right outside of the quarterback position. And depending on how things go in this rebuild, they're poised to drop in a quarterback at some point. If Brock Bowers and Jackson Powers Johnson end up being guys that live up to the hype, you could have a almost all-pro level center and a Pro Bowl level tight end. And you had Marcelo Mayer last year, so you can do the I said Marcelo Mayer. That's the Red Sox shortstop.
Yeah, that's the Red Sox. I was like, wait a second, what?
Yeah, that's Michael Mayer. Wrong player. Michael Mayer.
Yeah,
we got there. you got that you can run 12 personnel there and have a good offensive line and hopefully have a good run game. And Myers and Adams is a good fit. And I see the vision. So, congrats to them on not overcomplicating it and just taking the best player on the board.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. One of them, I mean, I feel like we've talked about it so much.
Yeah.
But I feel like you have what Atlanta did, I don't get it. I don't think anyone's ever going to understand it. Maybe it'll work out for them. I just can't imagine that it will. And every explanation is dumber than the last one, because if you're going to tell me that Kirk Cousins is 36 and can't be trusted and he's injury prone, you just gave him $180 million with 100 guaranteed. What the hell are you doing trusting a guy like that? If you can't trust him, why are you giving him that much money? So, you know, I'd like Michael Penix. I just think what they did was insane. To add on to that, Chop Robinson as well, I thought was a little bizarre in the first round. I get maybe the value was really good for Miami. They felt like the value there was too good to pass up. I just feel like they had other needs than, you know, edge rusher. They have some. Now, their edge rushers got hurt last year. I get that. But, like, you have two really good edge rushers. They both got hurt last year. But, like, are you spending your first-round pick on a position where you already have really good players just because they got hurt last year and you're worried about them getting hurt again? It just doesn't make sense to me, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm there. I'm right there with you. I'm definitely agreed. My second one that I didn't like, I'm going with another group here. It's a lot of what Washington did later in the draft. Luke McCaffrey in the third, too high. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. Jordan McGee in the fifth, he's a guy I was looking at as a special teams linebacker in the seventh round. Fifth round? Why? And I love Ben Sinnott. I think he was taken at the appropriate value. I do not get him in the Cliff Kingsbury offense. I don't think they're going to use him very effectively there at all. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but a couple of reaches, a couple of guys I didn't love the fit of. I didn't love that.
Well, and we don't love Jaden Daniels, right? So, like, no, of course that's there for us. Now, I do think the Johnny Newton pick was really good. And then who else did they draft in the second round? Oh, and they drafted Newton, Sinnott, and Sandristill. So I like some of those picks. Sandristill's
on my likes list, I can tell you right now.
I like some of those picks, but not all of them, right? And so so that's kind of where I'm at with that. I guess finish off what I have for the likes at least. Well, there's a few. I have a ton of likes and not as many dislikes, but I'll give you my last dislike as Malik Nabers. I get the process. He's really flipping good. There were some concerns about the way he handled things and his maturity level, and maybe those don't matter. But, like, we've seen how receivers in LSU receivers do in New York for the Giants. You know, like, I'm a little concerned about it. Again, this is another situation where I felt like if you move back and you pick up extra picks, you can get something that will help you out more than getting a wide receiver like that, especially when you have Daniel Jones as your quarterback. But again, that's, you know, I think it's a little nitpicky of me because I think Malik Nabers is really, really good. And, like, if you can get a really, really good wide receiver, you should probably do it. I just don't love the fit with the Giants in particular.
See, that's interesting because I actually love that fit. I didn't put it in here.
Yeah,
but I like that one. Do you want me to give you a pro or a con here? One I liked, one I didn't like.
Give me a con or whatever. It doesn't matter because I have like four likes left that will maybe we may not even get through all of them.
I got three of each. I can speed through a couple of mine if we want to
do it.
Something faster here. All right, let me speed through my dislikes here. AJ Barner to Seattle in the fourth round with Cade Stover still on the board. I love AJ Barner. I think he can be a really good blocking tight end. AJ Barner in the fourth round.
Yeah, it seems why strange.
In Seattle? I didn't get that fit at all. Miami Dolphins. They took not one but two speed rushers off the edge. They took not one but two wide receivers. They took a running back who's fast as hell. Did not take a single interior offensive lineman.
Right.
Isaiah Wynn is one of their starters. Their offensive line depth is awful. They took one offensive lineman and he was a tackle in the second round with Patrick Paul.
Yeah.
Why? What are you doing? I get that decorating the house is nice, but at some point you need to reinforce the foundation or the house is going to go sliding into the water when you get into December every single year. Like, come on, you gotta build the bones of this thing a little bit. And Xavier Leggett to the Panthers. I just don't think that's the kind of receiver that Bryce Young needs. I don't see the scheme fit there at all. I think if you're going for a bigger receiver, it would have gone Keon Coleman for them. But, you know, just take Ladd McConkey. He separates. It's simple. Yeah, you got Deontay Johnson who separates. You want more of those guys. You want a lot of guys who can create separation. Deontay Johnson is very inconsistent to the point where the Steelers of all teams were willing to move on from him. Like, that's
not what you're looking for.
Yeah, so I didn't like this.
I like that. Last one for me, the dislike was Tip Raymond. I just thought it was super early. Pick 82, I feel like, is really early for Tip Raymond. Now, he put up good numbers at the scouting combine, so I assume that's probably why he went where he went. I just feel like he went really early. And again, like, one of those things for me, right, where I look at, you know, this happened to Benson and it happened to Luke Schoonmaker, who I loved Luke Schoonmaker last year, and Tip Raymond as well, where I looked at it and said, I really like these guys. And then I see where they get drafted and I'm like, it went no part of that, like no part of that. Maybe it'll work out at pick 82, you know, maybe Sinnott will work out as a second round pick, but like, I'm not using a second round pick on Benson. And I'm certainly not using a third round pick on Tip Raymond, who is a guy that, you know, barely even caught the ball in college and like a really good blocker. And I know he's got some athletic upside, but like, can he run a route? Like, I don't know. I literally don't know if he can run a route. And so that's what concerns me. Does he understand spacing and zone coverage and all that stuff? Like, I don't know if he understands any of that stuff because he wasn't asked to do it in Illinois, you know?
Exactly. Yep. Yep.
So
it's a total projection.
Right. Right.
Do we want to wrap up with some positive stuff?
Yeah. So some positives, Malachi Corley, listen, man, he's my guy. The friggin' Jets, dude. But I will say the Joe Douglas, you know, Malachi Corley, no matter what, text to what's his face, to Sala, Robert Sala, was great. I'm like, all right, at least they're gonna respect my boy. At least they're gonna give him some love. At least I know they love him. So I'm okay. And so, you know, I like that. TD, mentioned Cooper DeJean. I love what the Eagles did in the first two rounds. They went out and they got Mitchell in the first round, and then they get Cooper DeJean in the second round. They move up to get him, but I think that makes a ton of sense. Again, another team that needed defensive secondary help and gets two, in my opinion, really good corners. I think DeJean might end up playing safety in the league, but to me, I think that makes a ton of sense. I like it a lot. And then I'll give you one more. I'll let you go. And then if you don't say the last one, I'll say the last one afterwards. But Tavondre Sweat, I just think is fantastic. Put him next to Jeffrey Simmons and just like good luck. Good luck playing Tennessee with Tavondre Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons in the middle of the defense.
I like that. Mine, I'll wrap up here. I said before, Mike Sanders still to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Great culture fit. And their defense stinks. So good player, great culture fit. That's a great value. I like that for Washington. Roman Wilson to the Steelers. We've made jokes about how like the Steelers like the guys who are like bad apples and all that. Roman Wilson brings like the same attitude, but without any of the off-field concerns.
Yeah.
He's like the good version of some of the guys that they've picked. Really fast player. I think he's a great fit for what they want to do. I mean, I really don't know what they want to do with the pass game, but hard worker, culture fit. They're not going to have any issues with him off the field. So I think that's fantastic for Pittsburgh, unfortunately. And my last one, how about good old Spencer Rattler? I did not love Spencer Rattler through this whole draft process, but I think the best fit for him is New Orleans because he'll get an actual chance to first sit and develop and then play. I think it's a great location for him. That's kind of low pressure, but with actual opportunities. And you got Chris Olave there, so you got, you know, an actual receiver to throw the ball to. If they could fix the offensive line a little bit, you know, they got Derek Carr has to be on that team for a little bit with this contract. So either Derek Carr is starting, or at some point the Boo Birds are going to get loud enough, and Spencer Rattler is going to get an opportunity in here if he looks even remotely decent in practice. So I thought that was the perfect landing spot for him.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. The one thing we haven't mentioned was Chicago. And Chicago has the number one pick, of course. But the fact that Chicago was able to pair the number one quarterback in the draft with, you know, obviously the third wide receiver in this draft, but a guy in Roma Dunze that, you know, would have been wide receiver one in pretty much any other class in the last 5 years. Maybe not above Jamar Chase, but above pretty much everyone else in the last 5 years. And so, you know, I just feel like doing that, continuing to set your quarterback up for success. Like those are the types of things that you have to do when you're drafting quarterback in the first round. And they just continued to do it over and over and over again. And so, you know, good on Chicago for doing that. And I loved that.
I like that. I think, this was an interesting draft, a very interesting draft all around. Once we get to August, I'm looking forward to hearing reports on some of these guys, because I'm sure that there's going to be this one player in that we didn't like category that ends up doing well and we just totally whiffed on. There's going to be somebody in the we liked category that ends up not doing well.
Of course. Yeah. Yep. Of course. And that's, you know, that's the way it goes, right? Is that, you know, you always find those guys that we end up loving and then they work out or they don't work out or whatever the case may be. So, you know, it's all a crapshoot. And again, so much of it depends on the player. So much of it depends on, you know, the situation and then outside factors too. It could be injuries, could be whatever. So there's a lot of things that go into it. It's not just whether the player is good or not. And that's sometimes a sad thing is you feel like, okay, you know, Mac Jones gets drafted to the Patriots and he has a really good rookie year and then he sucks the rest of the time. But what happens if Mac Jones gets drafted somewhere else? Is he ever good? You know what I mean? Or what happens if he gets drafted to San Francisco at 3? Like, is he in Brock Purdy's shoes right now? And we're talking about him as a possible top 10 quarterback in the NFL. And you know what I mean? So those are the types of things where it's like, that makes so much difference. That makes such a difference for you. And I think that that's one of the reasons why I love what the Bears are doing with Caleb Williams, where they're trying to surround him with talent, right? The fact that they draft Amargaji in the third round. They go out and they, you know, traded for DJ Moore last year. They traded for Keenan Allen this year. They draft Roman Dunze. You know, they spend their first round draft pick on last year on Darnell Wright. You know, so they're building this offense around their quarterback. The Patriots did the same thing with Drake May, mm-hmm. right? Where they're trying to build an offense around him. Jaden Daniels gets drafted into Washington, where they already have two good wide receivers set up already, right? Mm-hmm. And they go out and they draft, you know, other guys that can help him, hopefully, right? And so it's, you're trying to set your young quarterbacks up for success, right? JJ McCarthy walks into a great situation in Minnesota, right? With a ton of talent on the offense, right? Bo Nix walks into Denver. And like you say, they draft a guy for him. They also have Cortland Sutton. They have some good players around him, right? So you're trying to make it as good of a situation for your young quarterback as you possibly can. And that's one of those things that, you know, like, I think that the Patriots let down Mac Jones on, right? Not just the coaching, but also the players around him. And so I think, you know, you got to set him up for success and then hope that, you know, luck breaks their way, right? Yeah. And then also that the guy puts in enough work and time to make himself an elite player as well. So,
is that a perfect?
All right. I think that does it, right? I think that does it for us tonight. Yeah. We are going to have, again, I mentioned this already, but we're going to have our guy, Thor Nystrom, on. Yes, he gave the Patriots an F for the draft. We're going to talk about, he's talked about it before, he's mentioned it before, but I'm going to give him a chance to explain how he does his grading system. I think one of the reasons why I love talking to Thor is because he's so interesting, and the way he does it is so fascinating, and he sticks with it. He's like, hey, this is just the way it is. What do you want me to do? So I like the way he does that, and so we'll talk to him about that. We'll go through the draft. We'll go through the picks, and of course, you know, he's a Vikings fan, so we'll talk about his picks as well. It should be a lot of fun. So that's Thursday night, so stick with us for that. Thank you for coming through again. Again, thank you so – can't thank you enough for – you know, your continued support through draft, you know, through all of the draft, right? All of the mock drafts and the live mock drafts and the this and the that. It's great. It was a lot of fun, Matt. It was a blast hanging with you. The amount of work, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the amount of work that Matt did behind the scenes during Thursday night of the draft, the things that you didn't see was insane. And I was, you know, I was hitting the button and then calling up the picks and he did everything else. And so, you know, it was great. So thank you, Matt. Well, I'm lucky to be with you. And And it's you know, it's been a lot of fun.
I appreciate it, Pat. Hey, you're the ultimate host. I just I set it up so it looks pretty, but you're the one that runs the show here. And this has been a great draft season.
Yeah.
And it's funny. Now things get quiet.
Yes, they do.
Now we get a bunch of quiet months. We'll get a little in May. We'll get a little in June. And then end of July is when we'll finally start to get some stuff. And ready to wish away the whole summer quite just yet, waiting for Drake May. It's not even May yet.
I know.
It's going to be fun.
Schedule release. Can't wait for the schedule release already.
Yeah. Here, let's see real quick. Any games on the schedule this year, like that you're curious to see where they end up landing, what they do with them?
I can't wait until the Chicago game is interesting. And I have a vested interest in the Chicago game because I go to an away game every year, and that's more than likely going to be the game unless we like absolutely 100% can't make it work, because we want to see Soldier Field, right? Yeah. And you're talking about the number one pick possibly versus the number three pick. If they make it late enough in the year, you got to think Drake May is probably going to be starting that game. So I like the idea of that one. It's a lot of fun. They play in Arizona this year too, right? Like, that's an interesting game. Yeah. And so they're playing
in Arizona, right?
In Arizona, yep. So they're playing in San Francisco. There's some really good games that's going on. I think, are the Chargers at home or are they on the road?
That is a good question.
I feel like the Chargers are
at home, and then they play the Bengals on the road.
That's right.
Yeah, I think that Cincy one is what I'm a little bit intrigued about. Always intrigued to see about the divisional games, you know. Excited to see how many primetime games there are. New England has such a big fan base. We get primetime games even when we aren't very good. There's a reinvigoration now. And I wouldn't be shocked to see, especially some late season primetime games, because one, Drake May could be starting by then, and two, those can be flexed. So if he isn't for the team, isn't good, they can still move them.
Yeah,
and Mike Reese also mentioned in there a potential London game against Jacksonville.
Interesting. Yeah. And that is an away game, so you wouldn't lose a home game, Patriots fans. And I can't imagine they'd make the Patriots lose another home game 2 years in a row. I'd be surprised.
That would be a road game. Yeah, I also have my eyes on that Bears one because I want to go too. I'd love to do a little podcast trip out there.
Be fun.
I'm terrified that just feels like a game they're going to put on a Thursday night in October, like the first week in November.
I'll tell you what, man. I went to that Steelers Thursday night game. Thursday night game's not that bad, man. We left Wednesday you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was fun.
It's not like the worst thing ever, but that does, like, that feels like the kind of game. Somebody lives in New York. I'm excited to see when the Pats and Jets game is, especially because they like putting that one in prime time too. Even when those teams aren't good, they've done that. And yeah, we saw that we got the Jets Bills primetime game last year, and there's also a Jets Dolphins primetime ish game because that was a Black Friday game. You also saw the Chiefs game was primetime, but the other divisional opponents have gotten a primetime game with the Jets. The Patriots haven't. Now that it's Drake May and Aaron Rodgers is back, I would not be shocked. I think that's a candidate for a Thursday night game as well.
That's a great point. Yeah. Also, Gerard mentioned that he thought they played the Seahawks. They do play the Seahawks at home.
Yeah, that'll be at home. So they play the
Seahawks and Rams at home. Yeah, and then Arizona and San Fran on the road because they play the NFC West, and then they play one team from the NFC North, and that's the Bears. That's why they're in Chicago.
Yeah, so. And it's they – what do you call it? What was I going to say? A lot of times they put the NFC games like earlier in the season.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, week one they're in San Francisco like that. I don't think
be interesting. Yeah,
that I don't think would shock me. Or, you know, they're hosting Seattle in week one or two. You know, they went out to Seattle for Sunday Night Football in week two in the Cam Newton year.
Yeah,
And they played Arizona the 2016 opener.
Yeah, opener.
We played the NFC West. So wait, 20 and then 2012, our week two was at home against Arizona. So when we played the NFC West.
Yeah,
when
Gostkowski missed that field goal, right? Yeah.
And there was a holding call that wiped out the game-winning touchdown.
Right.
I think that might be the last Patriots game I wasn't able to watch live because we didn't get that where I was.
Interesting.
So that might be the last Patriots game I actually missed. 2012 week two.
I missed the Saints game last year. Worked out well, but I missed the Saints game last year.
I was in your seats.
That's right. Home the home people, the home fans are going to get to see the Texans. They're going to get to see some good young quarterbacks. C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson. I mean, you know, what's his name is old. Stafford is old, but still the Rams. Geno Smith is old and Justin Herbert. But like C.J. Stroud, obviously you get to see Tua and Allen and, you know, Rodgers every year. So I guess Rodgers, you didn't get to see last year, so you get to see him this game. But, you know, but to get Stroud, Richardson, and Herbert all in the same year is pretty cool. That's pretty
cool. On the road, too, I mean, you play Kyler, you play Trevor Lawrence, you play I don't know if we're going to include Brock Purdy in this category.
Yeah, well, even Will Levis. Williams, you played, you know, if you talk about Will Levis, you know what I mean?
Arguably, Will Levis is the worst quarterback they're going to play all season.
Which is wild to think about.
Yeah.
They have a tough schedule.
Yes. So, it's right now we're the Warren Sharp second hardest in the NFL.
Which is interesting because they finished fourth. They finished last in the division, but it just so happens that the Bears, who ended up with the number one pick, finished last in the NFC North, and the Chargers finished last in the AFC West. And you're like, well, that's
tough. And the Bengals.
So it's like, you know, you didn't get any breaks last year.
That's three, you know, if things break through, I don't know if I'd put the Chargers in this category yet, but that's three potential playoff teams that they're going to be playing as their fourth place games.
Yeah, that's right.
It's really, really the only team that I don't think, like, I'm pretty confident won't be at least somewhat good next year that they play is Tennessee. And even they have a good receiving core now. So,
Yeah, great point.
Yeah, it's a hard schedule.
And I'll tell you, TJ is right. Like, give us a really tough schedule, get us another top five pick, and get us, you know, a dominant left tackle, right? A dominant left tackle you can plug in. And you start that guy from day one, and if you know in the second round, if you take another wide receiver or whatever, you know, or another corner or whatever the case may be, but and then really solidify that offense to be ready to go for 2025 when Drake May, you know, really takes over from day one and it's his team and so on and so forth. And so, all right, let's get the heck out of here. We've been going for about 10 minutes extra after we said goodbye already. So. But yes, a few things coming up in the next few weeks. We got mini camp and so on and so forth, but we'll be back Thursday night with Thorne Nystrom breaking down, listen to what he has to say about the Patriots draft. And we'll go from there. So thanks very much, guys. And we will talk to you on Thursday night.